May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 961. Be still, my heart, these anxious cares, to thee are burdens, thorns and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. 961.
Holy Word of God, let us read in the First Epistle General of Peter, chapter 5. The first epistle, General of Peter, chapter 5. Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Most blessed and merciful God, the Almighty, we do bow before thy great majesty. Thou art a God of knowledge and of perfect understanding, and thy eyes omniscient. For thou dost see us and know us exactly as we are and where we are. And Lord, we beg that we may not be left to ourselves, but rather that we might know thy gracious hand to truly constrain us and to draw us unto thy feet. For thou art upon the mercy seat even now, sitting there, the friend of publicans and sinners. And here we are, we come once more, favoured once more to gather together for worship on the Lord's Day. Another Lord's Day, one less in our lives, Oh, that we might truly gather by faith and with a living desire. We want life, life, life in the ministry, life in our soul, life in thy word, life from the throne of grace. And often we know just how lifeless we really are. Oh, the hard heart, the heart of stone, nature, unbending, self-willed nature. Oh, what grace we need. What mighty power we need. Lord, what tender love we need. Oh, what dropping downs from heaven we need of the living waters of the gospel. Oh, we pray as we meet around thy word that there may be that portion for us, that word of instruction from God. Oh, there may be some life then in the ministry today, and that we might be favoured to bow down our heads and our hearts to worship thee in spirit and in truth and to give thee the glory, and that we might find consolation in the gospel. Oh, that sweet consolation that is in Christ and in Christ alone. That the Son of God, we know it in the intellect of our mind, we're brought up to it, we're Christians, we only to be the Christ, the Son of God. But Lord, we're downright wicked too. And herein lies the conflict and the need. We need, oh, the eternal Son of God to give us the victory, to maintain life in our soul and to support us in the valley of sorrow that this world really is, this waste-howling wilderness, and to deal gently, graciously, mercifully with us, because we loiter in the wilderness and find that we have so many loves in our heart, so many loves for everything here, and such little love to, oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But one thing we're thankful for, Lord, we won't be saved by our love. It'll be thy love that will save us. But oh, what a love, Lord, that is. Oh, what a blessed love. What an everlasting love. Oh, a love beyond human understanding. As the poet says, oh, love beyond conception great. Oh, let that everlasting love flow down into our hearts, and into our lives, to make us meet for the kingdom of God. Oh, thy kingdom come, Lord. We are just poor, needy sinners in need of God. Oh, what a mercy to be in need of God, Lord. Oh, when we believe those who really feel their need of thee. Oh, they will one day be satisfied when they shall truly awake with thy likeness. That's what we want, Lord. We need much saving. Oh, we need much mercy. We need much resurrection power in our lives. Oh, we need thy mighty, skillful hands to lead us each and guide us each in the narrow way that leadeth unto life, Lord. We know something of the peace and the largeness of that narrowness. There's room for a sinner, a big sinner, a wretched sinner, oh, a large sinner, a poor sinner that indeed feels and knows death is stamped on him and everything here below, and yet who must lean upon Christ, who must come to Christ. Oh, what a blessed way that is, Lord. Oh, bless us and do us good now, we pray. As all the heartache and the sorrows and the anxieties and the uncertainties among us. Oh, life's journey is very uncertain. But Lord, Oh, there's something so certain. We must die. And we must see Jesus face to face. Oh, that it may be well with us, Lord, in that tremendous day, thy divine appointment. Oh, that we each may be really made ready for the kingdom of heaven, that we may be prepared to meet thee. Oh, that that preparation of heart may be the work of the Spirit in us to give us to really desire to meet thee and to truly bring us into fruitfulness, to come to the place the apostle who was ready to depart. They're the wonders of grace, that we poor earthbound creatures should be made willing and ready by the riches of grace to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Do it for us, Lord, and work mightily. Well, they know us the condemnations among us, the felt wounds in the conscience among us, and the fears and tremblings, and the solemn searchings of heart, and the thoughts that can ever God really come to me, and how there may be those under a solemn sense of their own wickedness that rises and says, oh, I can't say honestly I want or desire these things. But do show thyself very gracious to the lattice of the gospel. Show them thy loveliness and thy loving heart and thy sweet countenance, and show them that thou art their righteousness, and that all things are ready. And as they came from shore, from fishing, and thou Emmanuel's on the shore after resurrection, and they brought in that those 153 fishes, as it were, but there were fishes already being cooked. To show such poor sinners that all things are ready, the gospel table spread. Oh, those who tremble at themselves, their own enmity to the truth, and their wanting to enjoy life and feeling so captive and in chains, as it were, yet still with the spark of life, wanting God, wanting God's mercy. Oh, do show such poor captives, Lord, that thou hast provided all things in the gospel, and the gospel tables spread, the precious gospel of all the wonderful works and dainties and beauties and loves and ornaments of Emmanuel. Oh, thou hast a golden heart. Oh, thou hast such a sweet and fair countenance, Lord. And oh, and thy hands are so gentle and kind and merciful. And oh, in thee is everlasting strength. Do come. Oh, bless sinners here today. And oh, that even one poor sinner might receive forgiveness of sins. Lord, and one dead interested in sins without any real feeling or desire. Oh, just perhaps a natural thought that they're a sinner and hope it'll be all right, as it were. Lord, do wound that heart with thy divine word of grace, and bring them to really hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, thou knowest the needs of the poor, and we do seek now there may be that help of the Holy Ghost among us, that loose a stammerous tongue and give the hearing ear and heart to receive thy word. That, Lord, we do think of all afflicted and all in distress and all with many woes among us, very heavy family concerns, and we think of those that indeed may have solemn mountains before them. Oh, we do pray that such may truly know and experience that in the hand of Zerubbabel, and before Zerubbabel, those mountains become a plain. May they know it in the experience of their soul and in the experience of their circumstances, we pray. And remember the little ones in arms, we bear them affectionately to thee. Lord, bless them and help the dear parents to bring them unto thee at the throne of grace. And as they grow up, Lord, do give them that tender fear of God. We think of the children in school days, and we do realise solemnly the situation in the earth, and we wonder what our dear young friends will live to see. But Lord, bless them. The young men and young women and the young adults, give them real wisdom, real understanding. Pass by them and say, live. Oh Lord, remember this people and grant them thy spirit. Remember office bearers. Be very gracious to them and merciful unto them. Give them wisdom from above, a single eye to thy glory. And bind this people together in love and union and godly fear in that one grand question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Or may they indeed know that divine cord of love one toward another in the glorious truth that thou art the Blessed One. That binds brethren together. For to sin against each other is to sin against the Blessed One. Though there may be different personalities, and no doubt there are, yet may there be that sweet unifying of the loves of Emmanuel and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ among them, and out unto them such as shall be saved, and gather in from this village and district such as shall be saved, we pray. Let it be thy work. Oh, do pardon our sins, Lord. Oh, we're miserable sinners. Oh, it's a dreadful thing to sin, but Lord, here's an honest confession. We can't help it. The thoughts come before we realise it. And we know that we love sinful things, Lord. The heart goes after them. What can we say? Ashamed. But we would plead. Oh, plead thy sweet atoning sacrifice. Oh, what a mercy, Lord, that didn't come to save the righteous, Lord, but did call, come to call sinners to repentance. May we know much repentance in our life. Or may we know, Lord, thy everlasting love in our life, in our hearts. And may we know that everlasting strength ministered to us, that we indeed may so walk in the paths of peace and righteousness, looking unto thee, and that we might have that precious faith, that humble, precious faith, to ever look unto thee out of our poor selves and away from all the trying scenes, and look up to thee for help and for mercy and for salvation, and for everything we need, body and soul. Lord, be our future. Oh, may we know thee as our future, our only hope for time and for eternity, that good hope through grace, that the sinner's hope, the hope of Israel. Bless us and do us good here. And we thank thee for the mercies that surround us and have surrounded us since we were born. So much lies forgotten, and so much has been sweetly performed for us without much thanksgiving from our heart. Oh, we've much to confess. But there has been a good God, and ever be a good God to those that weep after thee and look alone unto thee and venture upon thee. Oh, that ever will be good to such. We need thee now. Oh, do come and make one in our midst and break the bread of life. May the poor of the flock feed this day, we pray. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit may be here this day to take of the things of Jesus and make them known to us. Lord, no doubt there are some special cases here today. Seems such a mystery. We seem to be a special case to do with our sins and our weakness and our vast need and our helplessness and the things we find ourselves engaged in and the industry of this world, Lord. Oh, how helpless we are and often find ourselves a special case. Whether or not those special cases here today. Oh, may there be a little oil and the wine of the kingdom of God poured into their soul, Lord, to strengthen their weak hands and confirm their feeble knees. But Lord, we must not multiply words. We thank for the beautiful seasons and the harvest. And we live in hope of, Lord, the seed time and harvest continuing according to thy sure word. And so bless us and do us good. Remember the dear brethren at home. Bless every precious soul there, young and old. Remember thy dear servant labouring there this day. Grant him a thus saith the Lord. May the brethren truly feed upon the word. May there be a little feeding upon the word here this day. And my soul shall pray for Zion still. While life and breath remain, for they're my best friends. And my kindred dwell. Their God, my Saviour, reigns. So we plead that tremendous truth that the gospel's for sinners. That has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And may we know a little sweet performing of it today in our own hearts, in our own lives. Oh, we plead thy all-prevailing name. Oh, and that name above every name, the name of Jesus in all our askings, we plead for Jesus, Christ's sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor let us quite leave him. 746.
complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. It is particularly verse 7 that has arrested upon my mind. But we cannot pass by the context and the gracious instruction that leads us to the kind exhortation to cast everything upon Christ. And so he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now you see, we're not naturally humble. In religion, we can be very proud of our humility, thinking we're humble and can act and put on many acts of false humility, sanctimoniousness. But he who is God has a very perfect and skillful and effectual way in humbling his people. And he indeed gives that grace to them by trying their very faith and bringing them to know what they are, rebels by nature, upside down, fools at the best, left to themselves. So they're humbled in solemnly realizing their great wickedness and their helplessness and their own follies. And they're brought face to face by the hand of God in providence and grace to situations and circumstances they can never manage. There's something even more blessed that will humble us and make us willing to humble ourselves. It's an exhortation to the pilgrim, humble yourselves. It's the word of God. Oh, may the Holy Ghost make it the word of God to our hearts. Something more blessed than trouble or a solemn sense of our helplessness that will really humble us. And that is, as we may be favoured with some communion, secret communion with Emmanuel, and to draw, and it will be with joy, from the wells of salvation, and especially, as we're singing the hymn just now, to be led softly to the garden, Gethsemane, to be led to Calvary and view by faith the great God, the eternal God in the glorious and lovely person of the Son of God, and yes, indeed, who took our nature as the Son of Man into union with himself, that he indeed should be made sin for us, who knew no sin, and be punished. Bear the awful, dreadful indignation of the Lord for my sins. Are you troubled about your sins? I hope so. You know, we may be richly blessed in our lives, and in our souls, that is, and feel something of the sweet smile of God in our souls. What is the effect? We hate our own life also. We are made sweetly aware of his great love, and we're humbled. We can have to say why me? O blessed God, why me? Whoever lie in hell were not salvation freely given, freely made known, freely flow down into your heart. Oh, my friends, he giveth grace to the humble. So it is indeed gracious instruction. My friends, it's, shall we say, a divine injunction. It's the word of God. It's for you who fear God and tremble at his word, who need God's mercy, who need help tomorrow, have mountains before you, who are facing things you cannot face. Oh, how humbling is affliction, bodily affliction. How helpless we are made to know we are in affliction. Frail mortals cannot heal ourselves, want a divine healer. Or the trying scenes of life with fiery trials and dark clouds looming, the sons of men who can't be dealt with by you, only by God. Reading at home recently, the book of Esther, oh, the amazing workings of God. Everything was set and sealed. Oh, the king Ahasuerus had sent forth a commandment and sealed it. It couldn't be reversed. Be mercy if there's somebody here today who feels their sinnership is so great, beyond God, but it's not. Be mercy if somebody was to feel it today here. Oh, Lord, my sins are so great. What shall I do? Impossible. But it's not impossible with God. Oh, my friends, all has been fulfilled in the gospel feast. An atonement has been made, yes, in the great and wonderful sacrifice of Jesus. Everlasting righteousness has been brought in. And may the sweet instruction of the gospel reach each of our hearts to really believe in that blessed one and all that he has finished and accomplished and all that he is now as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reigning upon the throne of grace and managing the earth for the sake of his people. I know things look out of control, especially with all that's taking place now, and it's getting worse and will get worse very solemnly. If we read the scripture rightly, the Lord give us understanding. But the Lord reigns. He's managing all affairs. Things aren't out of the control of Emmanuel. Satan is under his power. Not in any covenant grace or love, God forbid the thought. He's God's enemy. Oh, he's bruised with an incurable bruise. Why, my friends, he's the wicked one, the liar, the opposer of God and the opposer of the brethren. But the Lord is reigning, you see. Oh, and Satan's works are undone. And one day they'll unravel. And Haman's work in the days of Ahasuerus, they unraveled in a night, didn't they? Unraveled. Oh, the wonders of it. And the man to be hanged took his place. Ah, may we be helped to stand in awe of Emmanuel, and that we may humble ourselves under his mighty hand in the trial, in the sorrow, in the distress, and call upon him for life and understanding, that he give us wisdom and open our eyes and soften our hearts to trust. Esther trusted as she said, if I perish, I perish. And truly, if the Lord had not controlled events, she would have perished. But the Lord certainly put it into the king's heart. Yes, let the queen come in. And the word of God stood, you see. Wherever you may be, this word stands. It's pure, it's holy, it's eternal. Oh, I know the Bibles will all disappear with regard to the ink and the pen and the material, but friends, the word stands. is eternal. I am he. If ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. How solemn to die in our sins. Never to believe he's the blessed one and repent toward him and call upon him for life, abundance of life, and all the mercy and the fullness of the grace that is in him. But I'm digressing somewhat. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand. What a mercy to be under the mighty hand in the context of this chapter. Under his mighty hand, eternally safe, but tried and weary and anxious. Won't it be wonderful to be under his mighty hand in the aeronautical of death, friend? The hour we so much dread and shy back from. And left to ourselves, we put off the thought. But no, you won't put off the thought, my friends, you're under his mighty hand. It'll be a painful exercise and a weighty matter with you. But, it'll bring you to prayer and to light prayers against that day and to seek to be ready for that great change. And what a blessed change it will be. To him who is prepared. And, there's one who is love that can prepare you and prepare me. And I need that preparation. I have a great need of being prepared, and so have you if you're rightly exercised. So you saw the mighty hand of God. But especially, you see, we're made willing to yield ourselves unto him. Get a little sense in your soul that he died for your sins, your dreadful sins. But I shouldn't be saying your dreadful sins, it's personal. When only mine's so great. Oh, the innumerable thoughts you have and the thoughts that run through your mind in a moment. So easy to dismiss ourselves and say, well, I'm a Christian and I go to church and I'm a believer and I do good works and we can't help sinning, it's so natural and we just hope in God. Well, we do hope in God. But will the Holy Ghost let you just dismiss it slightly from your heart? The Holy Ghost won't let that happen. And if it happens like that with you, well, you know, I'm a believer, so Jesus died, so I can just leave it with him, just like that. No, the Holy Ghost won't allow that. The Holy Spirit will increasingly show us the magnitude of our ruin and our just deserts, but he will take of the things of Jesus and the blood of the everlasting covenant and comfort your heart, and we're humble to know that we're spared and preserved and fed by him. And this is when his flesh becomes meat indeed and his blood becomes drink indeed, when under a sense of guilt and we feel our hearts so full of reproach of our small service and the strength of our own will and our worldly minds, when we sink down and plead Christ. Oh, you plead the one in whom you believe. And doesn't the Holy Ghost make his atonement precious to you at times? Your whole life is covered forever. Oh, the church is fair. She's without spot. She's a chaste virgin. Oh, she's married to Christ. She's the Lamb's wife. Well, the Lord grants a little softness of heart. Now, you have your distresses here. And maybe there's one here who knows their circumstances are indeed very frightening. And they are distressed. And yet you feel such a solemn cut in your heart that you haven't got much of a spiritual exercise. There's only one blessed one who can truly hear your cries for his redemption. In your conscience you know that you need more than earthly blessings and providential helps, yet you need them. You needn't be afraid of going to Emmanuel and telling the Lord your whole case. You're in great need in providence, in your circumstances, in your fiery trials. You have sorrow, but oh, you aren't rightly exercised. And you're asking for forgiveness for it. I need to give you, yes, yes, the abundance of eternal life and plead the freeness of his grace. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to show such an one, whoever it may be, more than one perhaps, something of the merit of Christ, and that he lives and his covenant promises stand for all who come unto God by him. All who come unto God by him. So you may go weak and helpless and condemned and trembling with petitions for his great love and his work of grace in your heart. You see, my dear friends, the Spirit's working is to bring us down to believe in him, to really believe that he's well able to do these things. And he can say, peace be still in a moment. Well, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This exalting in due time is being exalted in Christ, in Christ. Wherein Christ and whereby, wherein and whereby Christ will be glorified, glorified. Oh, how my friends, they're glorified in heaven, those glorified spirits of just men made perfect. How God is all in all. He's redeemed them, and they love him with their unsinning heart, if we may use the expression. Their unsinning heart, that is, their whole spirit is taken up in the new song and the holy rapture of praise forever. Because he loved them and he has surrounded them now in all his loves, and they rest from their labours and they see the Lamb. He, Christ is exalted and they're exalted in him. Therefore, Christ is all in all. So this is the purpose that, friends, in the fiery trial and the way he deals with us, that he should become all in all, and you feel so troubled in your soul at times, the ups and downs, the unbelief, the strength of it. But we're humbled by these things to really put our trust. And here is the here is the pathway and the life of teaching. You'll be humbled and taught over the years till your dying moment, and so will I. That we are really brought to be weary of everything here below, and long to be delivered, delivered. Early in early days, we long to be perhaps delivered from the power of sin and the guilt upon our conscience, or delivered in this trial and that trial. But you see, these things go on and on. It's to be delivered from, yes, this body of death and this earthly scene, because we are brought, as we're weaned unto him, to see that all is stamped with death. Well, you know your own case, and I know my own case. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And what a mighty hand it is. Blessed hand. Be not afraid of the might of the Lord Jesus. If, my friends, you are found confessing your sins and hungering and thirsting after Jesus, the Son of the living God, oh, that mighty hand won't consume you. That mighty hand will redeem you out of every evil thing. And that mighty hand will truly place your feet upon the eternal rock of himself, that he may exalt you in due time. That is to bring you to a peculiar peace and to a peculiar place of delight where you can leave your all with him as a poor, needy sinner in the realization of his everlasting love that he loves the people. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. Oh, they're all in the hand of Emmanuel. To cast then all our care, all our care. Casting all your care. When this word came to me on Friday, I mentioned it in preaching quite considerably, though it wasn't the subject. It's followed me. Seeing as it came, it seemed to be all such an emphasis, all your care, all of it. There seemed a sweetness in the emphasis. You see, you who fear God, you may not perhaps have come to the sweet realization or the full sweet realization that your life is hid with Christ in God. But if there's a desire after him and a real longing, you see, your life is hid. If you're being drawn to Christ, your life is hid. If there are those times when you have to weep and say, I know thou art the Blessed One. I'm such a sinner. I'm so poor. I have failed. Oh my carnal mind, Lord. And I'm now so frightened in this trial, Lord. Oh, where will it end? Have mercy upon me, Jesus, our Son of David. You see, your life is covered. You say, well, I don't feel very comfortable in my soul. What ground have you got to say that? None can come to me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. You're not drawn as a nice Christian and a good strict Baptist, knowing about so much of Christian doctrine and Christian practice and Christian history. You're drawn in need, weakness, guilt, a black record, chief of sinners, a poor trembling sinner, oh, a fool by nature. I mustn't call men fools, but I can speak of myself, a fool by nature. Because, you see, we get such a sight and sense of what we are in the eyes of him who fills eternity. And those are as a flame of fire. He knows every motive, every sinful thought sitting in chapel today, and standing in the pulpit too. He knows everything. What do we need? A complete washing. A complete washing. So the first care I must mention is the care of our soul. The care of our soul. I know it's unusual to speak of the care of our soul in this. Usually the way of preaching is, of course, our concerns in our lives. And of course, that is the context. But the great care of our soul. If you're really concerned about your soul, my friend, and are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God has promised something. God has promised something. He'll add unto you everything that you need to continue here below and to bring you safely through to your dying day, when you won't have any material need after death. You go into the world of spirits, though the body will be raised up like unto his glorious body, but you go into that world of those spirits, blood-washed souls, that God has made perfect. I know they're awaiting the resurrection, but they gaze on the glorified, shining countenance and body of the eternal Son of God, the Lamb of God in the midst of the throne. Now you see, if you really are in need of God's mercy, and you're being drawn as a beggar, you see, you are cared for and are hid. Your sins are hid. You are covered by Christ. But oh, the great matter is you feel so unfit and unworthy of the Lord's mercies to be upon you, and his deliverance is to come down and to make your crooked things straight and your rough places plain, because you're such a sinner and so very poor and lack, as you may feel in your own heart, clear teaching. But my dear friends, casting all your care, what a mercy to have such a solemn sense of the value of your soul. You need the Lord to care for you, your person. I know it's body and soul, and the usual way of preaching is the body and the issues of life, but no, that the most noble part of man is his soul. The enmity arises from the dark spirit of human nature. They're full of the love of sin and the love of the world. Don't deny it, my dear friend, it's true. One day you'll know it to be true if you don't confess your sins now and never repent and never know why the life of God. But if we know the life of God, you see, my soul, my never dying soul. Now I'll quote that promise, I alluded to it, I'll quote it more clearly. Jesus said, but rather seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, and all these things, food and raiment, the cares for tomorrow in the Sermon on the Mount, that's the context, all these things shall be added unto you. And ponder, my friend, how small it is. What a small thing it is for the Lord to provide out of his six-day creation for you. Can he not manage lives and hearts and affairs? Yes, by his divine direction, his looking down from heaven, his controlling events and affairs to supply your need. He can, in creation he spake and it was done, and he can speak blessings in providence. But that your soul might be cared for eternity, and that your sins might be forgiven. And when I say soul, I mean your being, body and soul. Because one day, body and soul, you'll be in eternity. Yes, God will raise the dust in a body like unto his glorious body. And the ungodly shall arise from the grave with a body, not like unto his glorious body, but a body of shame and everlasting contempt. There is a resurrection, my friend. So casting all your care, the care of your never dying soul. Ah, the care of your never dying soul in petitions and supplications for his blessing, sparing mercies, preserving mercies. But you see, this can't be disconnected from your body and from your life and for the hand of God and for your future. So all your care, but I want to emphasize the care of the soul is the vital point, because if you're greatly concerned about your soul and will spend eternity, you're under covenant promise of his wonderful works to the children of men in providing for you. I always get worried when I hear of, not of the Lord's blessings in providence to people, but when that's their only blessings they have. Never seem to speak much about the burden of their guilt or their sin, their need of washing and, oh, the Lord, to restore their soul. When it's only material things. It's not wrong. It's good to trust in God in every material aspect. He's the God of heaven and of the earth, the cat upon a thousand hills, is the silver and gold is all his. But what a happy man you are who feels your need as a sinner. And oh, you want the pardon of your sins and the smile of your heavenly Father in the lovely face of his dear son, yes, to shine within your soul. You will be well provided for, friend, or you will be tried in your providence. Casting all your care, all of it. Well, my dear friends, the safety of your soul from the wiles of the enemy, the wiles of a deadly enemy, he knows your weakness, he knows mine, he knows your favourite sins and my favourite sins, our besetting sins, what does so easily beset you. In our various frames and personalities, these things may vary from one person to another. You say, well, can I cast my sins? The casting of our care isn't a doing away with the care. The casting of our care isn't, my dear friends, the actual deliverance, but it's coming with our sins and with our problems and with our sorrows for his deliverance, his deliverance. And the covenant is, he delights in mercy. Or he'll have mercy and not sacrifice to the poor seeking soul that pleads Christ. He will command deliverances for Jacob. So therefore we may cast, yes, the care of our soul and, oh, in seeking his forgiveness that he may subdue, and to be kept and preserved in the day-by-day journey. Satan is ever plotting and planning in his infernal pit, you see, the fall and the final destruction of one believer in Christ. If he can destroy a believer, and he's got good fertile ground in your heart and mine, oh, he's got a victory over God. Yea, he can raise himself then above Christ. He never will. But all the griefs and woes that you may know in the daily conflicts, but you may plead in Emmanuel's help with your besetting sins, your temper, your frame, your lust, your pride, your unbelief, your light-heartedness, oh, your worldly-mindedness, your covetousness, every part of your life, the conflicts, casting all your care. But you see, you cast your care for blessing. You need the Lord to take you in hand. The Lord to be that performing God. The Lord deal gently and graciously. But he tries your soul in the very journey in which he lives you. He leads you. You see, dear friends, type and shadow of pilgrims in the 21st century is found in the wilderness journey. The wilderness journey. And he led them forth by the right way. But it wasn't an easy pathway, was it? When we set out in pilgrimage and feel, oh, the gentle south wind of the everlasting love of God in our soul, we set sail, don't we? And set our rudder and go along the beautiful breezes over the south seas, as it were. In the beautiful climes of this world and feeling the love of God. But, oh, my friends, Jesus didn't have an easy pathway. You ponder that. Pure and holy, does do God's will, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It's a broad way to hell. It's a narrow way to heaven. It's a wide gate to hell. It's a straight gate to heaven, my friends. You're hedged up and compelled to look to Christ alone for help in every aspect of your life, you see. That's the narrowness of the way. Looking unto him who fills his Father's throne. So he led them forth by the right way. And so they don't go by the shortest route. They go by the way across the Red Sea, you see. And oh dear, they soon get full of unbelief when troubles come, you see. Human nature, limiting God. And so they begin to rebel and fret, don't they? And so, my friends, he humbles them by providing for them and correcting them. Have you found that over in life's journey? You're humbled, you're corrected, you're provided for. He remarkably helps you. He commands deliverances for you. He blesses you indeed. How wonderful was the manna. Wonderful when they first had it. Some disobeyed and went out on the Lord's day. What rebels they were. Some kept it over, thinking we won't need to go out tomorrow for it. And that bred worms and stank. And that beautiful manna was a type of Christ. They were sustained. They'd gone over the years, but they remember the tasty dainties in Egypt. They begin to lust after them. Oh, the ease of former years. But wasn't easy, was there, in bondage? What fools they were, if I may say, the Lord pardon me for using that expression, but you know, it's because of my nature. Weren't they foolish, weren't they, to want to go back to Egypt again? They'd been delivered, that's in the Lord's wonderful works. But oh, it's a trying pathway. Always having to pray a way along. Oh, we have to keep coming as a beggar to the footstool of mercy, and nature gets irritated with, why can't we relax and get on and enjoy life? Well, look at the world around us. They're enjoying life. They seem at ease with themselves. And like Asaph, you're troubled every morning. Troubled every morning. And they began to complain of the bread. It was too plain for them. Well, we don't really know what manna was like. We've never seen it. But one day, you'll see the bread of God face to face. Then you'll know what he's like. You may now meditate by his lovely spirit in your heart. His great forgiveness is smiling your soul. You've literally lived upon him, and he's heard your prayer so many times. You've not seen the natural eye, but by faith you viewed one standing between in garments dyed in blood. And felt the sweet hope of him who fills his Father's throne. There's a real hope in Christ, friend, wherever you may be this morning. But you see, that manna was a type of Christ. It was small and round and white, and like coriander seed, and tasted like wafers made with honey. And it didn't come from 6-day creation. And neither has your redemption come from 6-day creation either. It's come from God, God alone. And that manna dropped from heaven, a peculiar act, a miraculous act, and they grumbled at it. Our soul loathed this life bread. The way's too narrow. Well, they were humbled over the years, but friends, he never left them, never forsook them. Now, you may have many worries in your life. I'm sure you have, especially you fear God. Many trying scenes, many impossibilities. Your way is hedged up. Search the scriptures. You'll find there many companions whose way was hedged up. Many things in your life, present time, that seem ready to sweep your way. And oh, at the same time, such an unbelieving heart. Oh, my friends, many years ago I heard a lady say that she glad she never knew rebellion. She turned on the pastor at Maidstone years ago and joined 2 or 3 churches and went from one church to another. Then she came back, latterly back at Maidstone again, that we must leave. We couldn't receive her back. She never knew rebellion. Oh, my dear friends, rebellious thou hast been, but you're saved by grace. The wonderful work of God, above all his works, the work of redemption. Rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee, my promise I'll fulfill. Does your poor, troubled soul need a promise? Plead those promises sealed by blood. Plead the glorious hope and the promise of Emmanuel. Jesus is pregnant with promise of mercy, love, all-sufficient grace, divine help. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. He knows our cases here today, our weakness in the flesh, our weakness in the mind, or our weakness through sinful infirmities. Often afraid to die, cannot face troubles, casting all your care. Now, what is this casting of our care? I believe it's a telling him of your case and a pleading with him for his almighty power, him to put forth his gracious hand toward you and to command from heaven the blessings and to put down your enemies and in his tender mercy to cause the sweet virtues to flow, or to not only heal soul but to heal in circumstances. Oh, my dear friends, all your care upon him, that glorious friend of sinners. I desire another word on my mind for this evening, desire to speak of that glorious hymn, if I'm enabled to tonight. Oh, upon him in all his glorious exaltation. Jesus is exalted in heaven this morning, my friends. There's an exalted Saviour, and he's a Saviour. Oh, do you need a Saviour? A Saviour in the coming week and in the coming months, perhaps. A Saviour because of the afflictions that are taking hold upon you. A Saviour because, oh, men have risen up against you. A Saviour, my dear friends, because your circumstances are so trying. You wonder where the seam will end. Where will your help come from? My help comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. You see, friends, the exalted Saviour is one whom God has laid help upon. I've laid help upon one that is mighty, Psalm 89. An exalted one chosen out of the people. He stooped so low to be born of the Virgin, chosen out of the people to be, what, the friend of sinners. David was a type, wasn't he? Chosen out of the people. And my friends, Christ is his firstborn. God's firstborn is elect. His soul delighteth. He's God's servant. And as God's servant for you, he reigns to serve you today, to wash your feet, to provide raiment, clothing, provide food and drink, and a covering over our head, and to take care of us in our journeys, to preserve us, the Lord's servant in heaven, exalted King. Oh, my friends, how can the Lord Jesus be your servant and your king? Well, he's David's Lord and David's king, and he's David's son. He's the root and offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. So he ministers, you see. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto by you and I, puny, failing worms of the earth that we are. We can add nothing to God. We can't help God. We can't help Emmanuel. But, oh, you need his help, child of God. You need his help in all the detail. And so he ministers and he serves you well. Oh, dear child of God. Answer the question privately to yourself with weeping before him and worship him and crown him. How well has the Lord served you over the years? How well has the Lord served you over the years? Oh, what can we say? Blessed God. Blessed God. Blessed God. But we're still in danger. We're still journeying. Many cares, many concerns. Our dying pillow, our old age. Oh, if we're spared to old age. Many things in our lives, industry, work, family affairs. Oh, and still that sinnership. Still that sinnership. Restore that wandering heart, casting all your care upon him in whom you believe, the Blessed One, for he careth for you. Tremendous truth. He cares for his people. That's why he has served you so well over the years and heard your poor prayers, your entreaties, your cries. He's heard you in your distress, when you've been in distress. Or when it's seen the hand of the Lord has gone right out against you, distressed. He came and served you, heard your poor prayers, raised up, spared, helped. Oh, all your care, for he careth for you, because his church is the apple of his eye. Meaning his delight. Oh, he sees his church as beautiful. He loves his people. Wonderful thing when we have natural love, husbands, wives, brides and bridegrooms, and you know, and we delight in one another, don't we? But it's all mixed with sin, and it ends in sorrow. But his love to his church never ends in sorrow. No. Jesus' love to you never ends in his sorrow or in your sorrow. My friends, his sorrows are past. He was a man of sorrows. We sang an open hymn. Oh, he who poured out his soul unto death and was made sin for us. Oh, the sorrow that must have filled his heart when the righteous God smote him. The sword of justice, pure justice, holiness, smote Christ. For your sins and mine. A love of sin. But my dear friends, his sorrows came to an end. He died in victory. You now have sorrow, but I'll see you again. Therefore, my dear friends, his love to his people must end in your bliss, your bliss. The sorrow will pass. Death will be passed safely. Then Christ will be all in all. He'll then bring his bride up and deliver the kingdom up unto his Father. In that new heaven and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness forevermore. They shall adore the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And you see, they'll see God as they see Jesus. As they see God, they see their heavenly Father also as they gaze upon the Son. Oh, they're with God. What a sweet and sacred mystery it is. But oh, that we may cast our care. Yes, the care of our soul, the care of our poor bodies, our cares here below. Bring all the worrying things and the heavy things. When you receive sad tidings, heavy tidings, oh, the Lord knows the distress it brings to you. May we spread it before the Lord. When evil letters arrive on your doorstep, or some threatening letter, or something in providence that fills you with dismay, oh, may we spread it before the Lord. But I'll have to close, it's 5:2. Casting all your care upon that holy hymn, oh, the sinner's friend, he who fills his Father's throne. Well, my friend, his everlasting love to his people will bring them home to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you'll have no more care. There are no cares in heaven. Why, my friends, it's bliss. And it's rest forevermore. It's sight. It's worship. It's love. Oh, my friends, it's beyond human language. But casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, so may we ask the Lord to humble us in our trials and to bring us to our right place, his dear feet. When we're willing to be nothing and Christ may be all and in all, let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Lord, help us each to cast every care upon thee, the sinner's friend. And may something remain to be a help to us as we journey on May thy word follow us along, we pray. Pardon all that's been spoken wrongly in thy sight. Bless that which was true and that which was thy own. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, and for the TBS on Tuesday evening to £1,035, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day. There will also be a church meeting on Saturday at 2:30 for prayer. Let us close with hymn 239. The Lamb is exalted, repentance to give, that sin may be hated while sinners believe. Contrition is granted and God justified. The sinner is humbled and self is denied. 239.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.